they murdered. All their friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Ravens were able to come away with a win against the Cowboys, but unfortunately, Dez Bryant had to sit that game out of nowhere. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. Great, especially after a nice bounce-back win. It was much needed. Yeah, I mean, hey, man, it was a great resilient win, getting some guys back. But it started a little crazy, right? Like what, 20 minutes for a kickoff, and we get the crazy news that Dez Bryant tested positive. He had an irregular test or something during the day, and everybody, and of course, I had like 100 text messages, and I'm like, do they test players right before the game starts or what? I don't know, but apparently he was that one off with a regular test, and a lot of folks, you know, were like thinking he was singled out because it was the Cowboys game. I don't know. I mean, it just was one of those fluke things. But man, was I frustrated for him. That sucked.
You got to feel for Dez Bryant. I mean, really, the guy worked so hard to get back to where he's at. He accepted the practice squad position, made it to the active roster, and now it was a game where you really wanted to prove something. He said it wasn't a revenge game, but you know, in the back of his mind, that was a revenge game. I mean, why wouldn't it be? But it really sucks for him. But it came out of nowhere. It really did, because look, we were talking about it on the show. This was his big return. There was tweets flying all over the place from the Ravens of him practicing on the field, catching the ball. You saw video of him embracing old teammates and old coaches. And then, like you said, 20 minutes before the game, it says that he is tested positive for COVID. Now, I guess right now we're recording Thursday morning. The good news right now is the fact that he is not on the COVID list. So that at least is some good news right now.
I've been trying to figure that out. Like, what's so special about this case, unless it just was a precautionary thing? Like, it tested, like, he got tested, like, I guess, like, well, during the day, and then they got the word that it came back positive, so they took him out as a precaution. Yeah, why? Do you have any inside information on why? I can't find anything on why he's not on the list. What did you find out?
I have no information. They're not saying anything about why he's not. The only thing I can
think of. With your credentials?
I know, right? Come on, man. But the only thing I can think of with just the way that we've kind of seen things done, potentially maybe it was a false positive. So maybe they don't have confirmation that he actually is positive, that they did a test. It was positive. They had to pull him because it was so close to game time. But they retested him, and maybe he didn't test positive that time. I don't know. But that's the only thing I could think of why he's not on this list yet. But only time will tell. We'll see. Dez was tweeting a lot. He called it quits, and then he said he wasn't quitting, but he asked if the NFL was going to call the game, but he said that he didn't do anything differently. He had his same routine, didn't come in contact with anybody new. So, I mean, just like I said last show, a lot of the stuff we just don't know about this this virus, you know, they're figuring out as they go. But if he tested positive, even if it was a false positive, I mean, you got to pull him. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just precautionary, right? But and he was a valid point. Like, he was like, are they not going to play the game? Like, I know he was live tweeting during the game. And I want to touch on that a little bit. You know, it's, you know, I get it, right? You know, if you put yourself in his shoes in the moment, you know, you're back in the NFL, got a second chance. You know, the Ravens finally brought you up to the active roster. You signed your contract. You're playing your former team, which you've been balling out for years. Right, they drafted you. This is the second team he's known, so you know it's that extra oomph factor, like we talked about, the Steve Smith blood and guts game. Like, nah, you want to stick it to him. Like, there's always that extra. Even if players deny it in an interview, there's always that extra, like, yeah, I'm going to give that extra juice. So I thought and I expected he was going to go off. Didn't happen. But, yeah, him upsetting. And, again, Brandon, I don't know him personally, obviously. But he is one of my – or he's always been one of my favorite players and receivers in the league. I followed him since he got drafted. Pretty much had him on at least one fantasy football team every year he was playing. So – I love me some Dez Bryant. It's how it is. Like, he's just one of my favorite guys. And I had kept a story. I always just keep these little things, especially to go back on. But it was kind of fitting how he tweeted he was quitting. He was upset. Obviously, I thought it was emotional reactions. I was like, he ain't quitting. Like, he just literally and the reason why, if you really pay attention to the pulse of the team, less than a week ago, he just came out with an interview. It's about 5 minutes, 6 minutes with the Ravens. And he was interviewed on asking why he came back to the NFL. And he came back to the NFL because of his daughter. So what kind of a role model and a father would he be if he literally come back because of his daughter pretty much asked him to, and then he's like, oh, I'm quitting. Like, now, again, and then we get it. And the reason why I want to bring it up, he could be battling with some anxiety and depression that he had a few years ago in 2018. I saved an article. There was an article put out there, and he actually put it out there that he was battling depression and anxiety. So I say these people, I get it. Like, you're upset, and you're like, oh, he's a quitter. We don't need his negative attitude. You're entitled to your opinions. If that's the way you feel, great. You know, you're not wrong. No one's wrong about that. But I say tread lightly, because there's battles that people are fighting that you don't know about. So be careful. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to – this isn't about me proving right or wrong, but obviously, my stance, I feel, was correct, because he came back and was like, yeah, he's fine. Again, emotional reaction. You got to put yourself in the shoes. He was juiced up out to play his former team, and you're told that you can't play because you had a weird thing with your test. Like, of course you're going to go to social media and be mad. You know, we all say things that we don't mean, and then we're like, okay. You know, we get in the heat of the moment. So, I don't know. I feel for him, but – I'm just, you know, hopefully he's okay. Like I said, he's not on the list, so it doesn't seem like one of the severe cases as the team just had. But, you know, we just hope this is all behind us for the Ravens' sake of the team and for everybody. You know, we want to get back. And speaking of that, we had some guys back, and they were balling, man. It was great to see Lamar back under center. I really want to focus on him before we get down to the kind of breakdown of the game real quick, man. I don't know if you saw the same thing I did, but I picked up on a few things about Lamar. The last few months, right, I feel like since the Browns game, we bought out, period, right? But a lot of folks were saying, like, he just doesn't have that, like, it doesn't look fun for him. He doesn't have the same energy. And that's not only him, but then it trickles down the whole team. Like, the whole team didn't seem like they had a lot of energy, right? So I heard a couple of the media members point this out. And I used them as aid because I didn't really see it until I read that and was like, you're right. He looked like he was having fun at that game. Like, he was on the sideline. He was loose. He missed a few plays there. Everybody missed a few plays. He can't be perfect. Even if he has a perfect passer rating, there's always plays that are left on the field. He wants back. You know, collectively, I felt like this was probably, other than week one, I think this was Lamar's best game, just because I felt, again, he had a tip ball interception. You know, he threw it behind him. Half his fault, half not. The receiver, it went off of Hollywood's hands. But anyway, I felt it wasn't his best game, but I felt like it's been better. This was his best game in probably a little over a month, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I felt like he had command. I saw the confidence. What led to his touchdown, if you really watched the things leading up to it, remember 4th and 2, he waved them off. There's the let's go for it, coach mentality, like the Seattle game in 2019. You know, we're seeing that, like, confidence, like, no, I got this. And he took the team and he took the reins of the offense and led them, instead of just, like, being out there and pressing too hard. And when he tries a little RPO and he gets stuck and he's running around back there and he looks like he's lost and he's sidearming this and overthrowing that and he's not confident. I saw a more confident, not the most confident, but I saw a more confident Lamar Jackson take command of the offense than recent weeks, and it proved big time. Maybe COVID was a good thing. Not saying anybody would get it, but when I see maybe COVID was a good thing, maybe he just needed that reset. Maybe he needed a couple of weeks break and just to hit that reset button to find it. I don't know. It just, to me, I've observed through everything I've read during the game and just watching the game, that's what I've seen about Lamar. And it trickled out to the offense. I thought it was a great performance.
We've seen Lamar grow as a leader this year, 100%. I mean, think about that Titans game. We talked about it before or after the game. Even though it was a loss, he was the guy that was in the center of the circle during the pregame to get everybody hyped up. And he always was a lead by example type of guy, not a rah-rah rally the troops type of guy. But he took on that role. He thought, that's what the team needed. So it's good that he's able to do that. And like you said, it's not a good thing that he got COVID, obviously, because like he said, he still doesn't have the sense of smell or the sense of taste right now. That's not back. And we don't know because, again, there's so much we don't know about COVID. We don't know the long term effects of how this might affect him down the road. But, this was the first game that he missed in his NFL career. He sat out plays in that first year when he took over for Flacco. But this is the first game he's missed completely since joining the NFL, and sometimes it's good to sit back and watch a game that you're not on the field for, and it kind of gets you energized again to want to get out there and to prove a point, and I think Lamar was able to do that. Was it a perfect game against the Cowboys? No, it wasn't perfect, but it definitely was a great game. I mean, he got a touchdown, and then you saw him connect with Hollywood in the end zone, which was a great thing to see because that end zone, that red zone, has kind of been missing from the Ravens in the last couple games. So it was good to see these guys kind of work together, get on the same page, and this is the perfect time you want the team to get hot. You know, it's December. There are not many games left. So this is something that you want the Ravens to do. That reset may have been good for Lamar, may have been good for the team. A win would have been better, of course, but against the Steelers. But it's 2020. It's a weird year. And I think Lamar's doing the best he can right now. And he's a young guy. He's still learning how to be a leader. He's still learning how to be the face of this franchise. This is new to him, too. So I think everybody's learning something this year. And I think that's just a part of what Lamar's got to do right now.
Yeah, no, wholeheartedly. I mean, you're right. I feel like obviously if it wasn't for COVID, I think we obviously beat the Steelers hands down. Obviously, if it wasn't for a mistake, pick six, we beat them. That's water on the bridge. But, we don't want it. And like we alluded to, we don't want anybody to get it. But it's going to take a couple weeks to reset. And I think that's what the gist of this is. It's a reset for Lamar to get ready for the stretch run to say, all right, now let's get back to the basics. Let's stop overdoing things. And that's what he's been doing. I feel like all year he's been pressing. He's not been the same MVP as he was. And it's just – it's been a big letdown, and it's been a big disappointment. And if we spoke to him, if we had him here on the call, probably echo the same things. He's disappointed, man. It's, you strive too much. And I was talking to some of my friends, and maybe I know, right? The ultimate goal is the big, shiny Lombardi Trophy. That's the goal every year for every player in the NFL. But we were talking, and it's like, here's the thing. Maybe – I hate to say this because I've always said set your expectations high and just, try to reach them, but – we were talking maybe because he's always talking about like Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And again, this is hypotheticals. I don't, I'm not saying this is the reason, but it's like maybe we should top it down a notch. Like we were joking. We were half joking, half serious because it's true. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. I said, Lamar, why don't you try to win a playoff game first? Then we can talk Super Bowl aspirations. Like, I get it. You're going to get Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. Well, we believe it, Lamar.
Right.
But let's take baby steps first. Let's wait. Now we can't get to the – we got to division 2 years in a row. That squashed this year. Got to get the wild card. We have the schedule in front of us. We're getting people back, so we're getting healthier. We're trying to win these games here. It's set up. The Ravens still can have a winning record. They can still have a record that might qualify for the playoffs. Might, because AFC stacked and remains to be seen. It's hard to figure out at this point with 4 weeks left to play. But, my point is like, Super Bowl aspirations, maybe he's putting too much pressure on himself, and that's the point. No, why don't we start here? Why don't you win a wild card game? Why don't you win a division game? Why don't we get over the hump first and get there? We didn't hear. And what's funny is I don't want to compare. We never want to compare, quarterbacks. But it's funny. I rarely heard Joe, and when I say Joe Flacco, talk about Super Bowl aspirations. I don't really, never really heard him unless you have. But but he was just so good in the playoffs. I guess it was just automatic. Like once January Joe comes around, it was like we knew we were at least going to the divisional round every year. It was like clockwork. We're at least in the Elite Eight in the NFL, not the Final Four. And, you know, to me, and then every year it was a progression. We just get there, but we almost got there, but now they finally got over the hump. Lamar, it's like all or nothing, and I think he's really trying too much. And last year was awesome, right? But it stems from that. Like, the confidence showed, and just the focal point of the game. I never really felt the game was in doubt. You know, it was a solid performance all around. I felt like the defense really could have, you know, picked up the slack a little bit. But I just really want to talk about this, man. The running game, man, I mean, is there anything else to be said? The running game was full on base mode and spearheaded by Lamar. Man, that's how you do it. You run to set up everything else. And I think that was the magic that was missing. And getting Ingram and Dobbins back was a huge part of that. But not only that, but Gus Edwards was running hard. I looked at my dad, watched the game. I'm like, I said, sorry, Mark. I love Mark. Love his personality. Again, one of my favorite players and personality in the NFL. But I'm like, I feel like this is the Dobbins and Edwards show. The way these guys were running this past week, dude, against the Cowboys, the running game, they couldn't stop it. No answer for it. You control the clock. You control the momentum of the game. And it kept the passing game simple. And that's what happens. The Ravens get in trouble when they don't run well. And then Lamar's got to go pass happy. And I think that's where the Ravens get in trouble. The recipe for the Ravens, you run first, set up the pass. And I think that's what really bode well in their favor. I almost said Monday night, Tuesday night, because of how the game plan unfolds. And it kept – when Lamar had the pass, if you look at the stats, it was efficient enough. You know, he didn't have to throw for 300 yards, but, you know, I think what he had, like 12, 13, 14 completions, and two of those were touchdowns, beautiful throws, you know, and seeing Hollywood and Boykin, two draft picks, get involved like that in the same draft, that's what the Ravens envisioned when they drafted these guys. So get them involved without a Snead, without a Mark Andrews, without a Dez Bryant added to the mix, that to me just spoke. I think the offense really got it in gear without some missing parts there.
Yeah, obviously the offense really needs to do run, pass when you can. And we got to see that a little bit against the Cowboys, and it worked. And like you said, Mark Ingram, I don't know if he's the number one guy anymore. I think that does go to Dobbins. But you do have to incorporate Ingram there at some point. But Dobbins really is the future, and he's just doing a fantastic job. He's showing, you know, why he got drafted. Because a lot of us, I think you were between you and I, you were very excited about Dobbins when he got drafted, and I was kind of like, all right, well, maybe we'll use him as we get closer to the playoffs, but Ingram's still the number one guy. But Dobbins, really, I mean, he has shown what he can do on the field, and he's something special. So it's good to have him back. It was great to see Lamar running again and be able to get that touchdown. We've seen, I believe, that same run three times this year in just this season up against Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas. So obviously Lamar likes that play, and it works for him. So that's really good to see. Defense.
Absolutely, man.
Defense, like you said, it was a little suspect, but we are getting Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams back. Neither of those guys are at 100%. So hopefully, as they get used to playing again and off the COVID list and everything, we'll see a little bit of the magic back and get those guys back to close to 100%. Because I know.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off the list, man. And, so we got the notification. Yeah, so.
Besides COVID, they've also nursed injuries as well. So, I mean, it's a double right. whammy for them.
But no one's on that point before we move forward. No one's on major missing time kind of deal. Like, no one's going to be out for several weeks. Right now, it's just COVID protocol. And then, what you're right, while in that downtime, they're healing up their injuries. But it ain't like when they come back, they're going on an IR or a couple weeks, day to day. It's pretty much when we get these guys back, they should be balling out for us. Now, yeah. Unforeseen circumstances. But from what I've seen and observed with the pulse of the team, I don't see a scenario where we're going to miss these guys once they come off the list.
Yeah.
But needs to be seen.
But let's talk a little bit about, before we move on to the Browns game, let's talk a little bit about Justin Tucker. He missed. When does that happen? Justin Tucker missed.
A lot of people are equating that to the Aikman, or I think it was Aikman that jinxed him. I don't know who it was. Someone jinxed him where he was like, oh, he had 70 straight or something like that, and then he misses it. I couldn't believe it. I actually had to sit there and go, did Justin Tucker really just miss it? Because it's so automatic, you figure just ignore it. And I try not to be on my phone a lot during the game because I like to pay attention, engage, and all that. But because he's so automatic, I was checking my notifications of some of the things I was missing during the game. And I look up, and when I heard it, I looked up, I'm like, you just missed that? Like, oh, okay. Like, you don't expect it. So,
yeah, I'm wondering, all right, so do you remember a couple years ago, it was an extra point, it was against the New Orleans Saints, right? They came to town here, and Justin Tucker missed, and it just, you know, everybody was shocked. And then we saw the Cowboys kicker also miss a couple kicks this time around. Is there something about that one end of the stadium? I can't remember if the Dallas kicks were in the same end as the Tucker missed kick this past game. But they added, like, corner scoreboards to the stadium a couple years ago. I'm wondering, did that affect the wind in the stadium from those new scoreboards? Because it seems like something's going on at that one end of our stadium that's affecting Tucker's kicks and maybe potentially some opponents' kicks as well. But I don't know. It's so odd to see Tucker miss. It like you said, it's automatic.
Was it at the same end when he did the Saves game?
That's what I'm not positive.
I have to go back on that because obviously I was there for that and that was in my end. Yeah, that's the second missed field goal he's had in the last few years at M&T, uncharacteristic. And then remember he missed the extra point too. So that's what I was talking about, the extra point in that game. But yeah, I mean, it's just really uncharacteristic.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody's due for a bad day at work or whatever. But I mean, like, Tucker is just one of the best ever, but it's so crazy to see him miss. So that was, like you said, I kind of popped up too, and I'm like, wait, what happened? He missed? Like, what?
Yeah. Yep. But not only that, but it, like, if you saw my tweet, it was kind of a bad kicking karma because not only that, but the Cowboys left 9 points on the field themselves. The Cowboys kicker had 1 of 4. So with Greg Zuerlein, if you followed his journey through the NFL, you know Greg Zuerlein's a household name. And kicking, you know, he's been formidable. And from him missing 3 out of 4, what is it with Ravens and Cowboys missing field goals, especially 8 years ago? Because remember 2012, the last time we saw the last time we saw Cowboys here in Baltimore was 2012 Super Bowl year, and it was Ray Lewis's last pretty much unofficial home game.
Right.
Is the game he got hurt in. But remember, we won 31-29. And I forget who the kicker was. Was it Dan Bailey at the time? I believe he missed a game-winning field goal at the end. It would have gave the Cowboys a 1-point victory. So I don't know what it is lately with the Ravens and Cowboys linking up, but there's been missed field goals there. But I don't know. But, yeah, it's something to see. But, yeah, it was a rough night for the kickers, man. The kickers definitely had a time. But not only that, but the Ravens special teams, I'm glad you brought that up. The Ravens special teams to me – was the squad and the weak spot, excuse me, the weak spot of the team. They're called a momentum change. Ravens were down 3-0. Obviously, Lamar, and I'm going to talk, there's two things I want to talk about. Part one is the special teams, but two is Lamar. But after the Lamar touchdown run, right, just at the end of the first quarter, about 20 seconds left, remember Tony Pollard brought the ball out. Remember, he took the ball deep in Ravens territory on the kickoff return. And that set up a Michael Gallup touchdown, which put the Cowboys then up, you know, 10-7. So they traded a couple leads there before the Ravens finally put them away for good. So to me, that kept the Cowboys in the game and gave them some life, right? You know, the Ravens just went up 4. You took the momentum back. And then there you go again. You gave it right back to the Cowboys, and they punched it in and took advantage of that field goal, field position. So to me – and again, I love it when people are like, well, the head coach is a special teams guru, or the head coach is a defensive guru or offensive guru. I'm like, don't matter what kind of guru they are, you know, they have sub coaches for that. They have a coordinator for everything. So and they have a coordinator for the coordinator, right? So there's a reason why. So it's not all on Harbs. I mean, obviously he's the man in charge, but you know, he's got to have his thumbprint on that, right? Because he is a special teamer guy. So maybe give it a little bit more edge, but I don't know. But yeah, to me, special teams left a little bit more plays on the field than maybe the other units, but remains to be seen. And not only that, but another momentum turn was the, and I know the Cowboys rushed the play, but I don't know why the Ravens coaching staff didn't challenge the O.J. Fort interception in the end zone. To me, it looked clear-cut interception. Yeah. A lot of media members agreed. My dad, myself agreed. Everybody agrees. that was an interception. It changed. It would have changed momentum. Took points off, but it is what it is. You know, again, retrospect of the game didn't really impact it too much because we did win handily. We doubled him up on the scoreboard. But that's something I observed, that the special teams going forward need to shore up the kick, especially when they're not going to kick for a touchback. They need to have the coverage. You can't let the team get amazing field position and expect to win. You got to keep them at bay and keep them in a long field. But that's something I noticed, something I observed. And another thing, you probably saw the tweets to go out, and it's kind of special, right? The Ravens play the Giants coming up in a few weeks, the last NFC East team to dispose. But before we move on to the AFC North matchup in the Browns, a couple things I want to talk about, right? How crazy is it that Lamar has the same touchdown run against these three NFC East teams this year? How crazy is that, man?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did online,
the breakdown. Like that's incredible. It's like you play the NFC East, and it's like they're not aware of that game film or something, or they don't see that. But it's like, but it was a great call. And if you look back at those replays, the one against Cowboys was 4th-and-2. The one was 3rd-and-3 against the Eagles, and I think it was 3rd-and-4 against the Washington team. So it's kind of funny. I was like, if it's 3rd or 4th-and-short yardage, watch that Lamar play. But that was a spectacular play. It was great to see him back in action. He looked fast. He looked refreshed and ready to go, man. But
do you think he pulls it off against the Giants?
I think he could. Can he go 4 for 4? I mean, he pulled a hat trick out already for it. But before moving the Browns, man, speaking to NFC East, you have to give a round of applause. Let's actually do it. Round of applause for the Washington football team taking down the Steelers. How about that?
I was completely shocked about that. I mean, you sent me a text awesome. And you were like, Washington or something like that. And I just sent a shocked face back of Daniel mm-hmm. Bryan. So I,
Should have done The Office. It's happening. That's my favorite.
Did you see Washington actually posted a clip from The Office where they had Dwight on his exercise ball and had the Steelers logo over Dwight's face?
Yes, and they popped it.
And they popped the exercise ball.
I was busting laughing. Man. But remember what Chase Young said? He said Baltimore exposed some things.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious on what that is. And here's what gives you hope going forward. And when you want to talk about this Browns matchup is, I know the Ravens are 7-5. They left some wins on the board. I feel like looking back this year, no matter how it ends for us, I want those Steeler games back because 2 pick-sixes. The Ravens, not only that, but it doesn't need to be said because they balled out, but 294 rushing yards. I mean, almost 300 yards. What is it? 300 rushing yards against the Cowboys. And they did kind of the same thing against the Steelers. So what leaves me hope going forward, and that's the key. And looking at the Steelers right now, they don't have a running game. And I think that's – not to say that's the thing that's exposing them. When I think Chase Young was talking about Ravens exposed some things, I'm thinking about defensively schemes for the Steelers offense. They figured out the Steelers offense. It's not defensively. But what I want to focus about the running game, and the running game was just crazy beast mode awesome, is if you look at the Browns, I mean, dude, what kind of year it's been. The Browns are 9-3 and the Ravens are 7-5. So they're 2 games better than us right now. That's crazy it is. I mean, the Browns are going to have their first winning season percentage-wise, since 2002 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like when they were 10-6. So, again, you got to hand it to them. So – And it's kind of like a reverse role of last year. Remember, the Browns beat us by 18 points, and then we won 12th Street, and they kind of just went down the drain.
Right.
Now, we beat them silly in week one and had their way. And the Ravens had their way with them, and then since then, Ravens couldn't put it together. I mean, the Ravens did start 5-1. They were 6-2 at one point, but again, before the Cowboys game, losing 4 out of 5 doesn't bode well for the record-wise. But – What I want to focus on going forward is the Steelers right now don't have a running game. These two teams that are locking horns Monday night have a running game. You know, you look at the Ravens running attack, you look at the Browns running attack, they're built similar. I mean, the Ravens rushed, I think this is their like second or third game this year where they almost had put up 300 spot on the rushing attack. Man, it's just ridiculous. And with the Browns with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, Nick Chubb, he's a beast too, man. And Kareem Hunt's providing the 1-2 punch. So these two teams run, set up the pass. And I think that's what's getting Baker Mayfield some success right now in the passing game. They're without Odell Beckham. We get it. He was down earlier this year for the injury. But, you know, Peoples Jones for the Browns has emerged. He caught a 75-yard bomb for a touchdown on Sunday. I mean, and how about it? I mean, the Browns, dude, who expected that? I mean, it was 38-7 at halftime against the mighty Titans, right? So you had to look. The Browns are for real after that score. But what leads you to get some hope here, and if this was the Ravens doing this, we would probably be really negative on the show. When you have a 38-7 lead and only win by, what, less than a touchdown, and you only score 3 points in the second half, you lay down. So that kind of bodes well because of the momentum factor. Like, the Browns really didn't blow them out. They did, but they didn't. So they started to, and then they left it out in the field a little bit. So the Ravens balling out coming into this matchup and riding high to win and getting people back, I feel like the momentum's on the Ravens side, even though the Browns are 9-3. What do you think?
Well, right now the Ravens are a favorite, but only by 1 point.
I still can't believe that. On the road on a Monday night with a 2-game deficit, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take it. I think that this is, you know, we're already kind of looking to the playoff picture. Some teams have already clinched a spot. You know, the Steelers, Packers, and one other team could clinch this weekend. But this one is a must win. If you look to the future for the Ravens, after the Cleveland Browns, they don't face anyone with a winning record. So they really need to focus on this team. The Browns.
Do records really matter after Monday night? I think it's all about matchups at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a Washington team just take down 11-0 team. So
that's true.
I don't know. That's just not to, you know, focus on that. But I mean, I don't really think records matter at this point, especially in the stretch run in the NFL. Right now it's about matchups. I mean, I say the hottest team right now is probably the New York Giants, who are 5-7. They've won 4 straight games.
Yeah.
So they started 1-7 and they're 5-7 with a bye week in there. So I don't know. Before the Ravens laced up against the Cowboys, I actually said on Monday night, I would take the Giants over the Ravens right now because of before the game. Now, I know it was a great win, right? But still, the Ravens have, you know, they lost 4 out of 5. You know, now they've won, you know, 2 games out of last 6. So, I don't know. So, to me, no matter what records say, obviously it's kind of funny, right? Depending on your division, I say Redskins, it's just in my brain, right? It's just ingrained. The Washington team and the Giants are tied for first place, 5-7. The Ravens are 7-5 in the third place in their division. Just shows you. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a great point, but you're right. Focusing on the teams that we do play, they're not good football teams based on their record. You're right.
Right.
So that gives us hope because, like, the Giants and the Browns are our hardest opponents. Now, it was pointed out that the Giants probably were an easier win a few weeks ago. Probably not now, but I mean, but then if you look at the games that go in the NFL, even though Jacksonville has 1 win on the year, and it's crazy, they won in Week 1, haven't won since.
Yeah.
So, but they took the Vikings to the brink. I watched that game and I picked the Vikings and my pick and pull one survived barely. Look what the Jets did. They took the Raiders to the brink and had to do a stupid defensive lapse, all-out blitz coverage to lose the game. They were up with less than a minute ago. I mean, I right now, as this year is going on and as I've gotten into my fantasy matchups and pick'em pools, looking at these teams, even with losing records, they're putting up fights. They're not laying down.
Right.
Like, Jacksonville's been in the last 2 games. They could have probably won those last 2 games. The Jets, remember? They barely lost to the Patriots on Monday Night Football, and they could have won this game too. So the Jets could have 2 wins. I mean, you're right, but it gives us hope as fans to go look at the schedule. I'm like, it's favorable. They play the Bengals, who have, what, 2 wins right now, and the Jaguars with 3. So 2 teams combined with 3 wins this far in the NFL season. The Giants and then you just disposed of the Cowboys. You have the Browns and then the Giants. It's set up. You know, but with those two opponents, I expect the Ravens – or with those two opponents thrown in there, I fully expect the Ravens to go 10-6. I think they're going to run the table. They're going to lose on Monday night, but I think they're going to run in the table in the next 3 games and be 10-6, getting a 3-game winning streak to the playoffs. That's the way I see it shaking out. If they were to go somewhere sniffing 9-7, they're out. They're outside looking in. I don't think it's going to get done unless the other teams just lose out.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. But, yeah, December looks pretty promising from a schedule standpoint, given their opponents. We do have the matchup win already against the Browns. Obviously, that was when both teams were 0-0 record-wise. But it's going to be a tough matchup Monday night, man. This is going to be – I mean, every game's a playoff game now because of records and seeding, but – If this game is not as any important in the AFC North, I mean, this is their second to last divisional game, but this one's going to be, hey, I'm happy it's on the Monday night stage because it's playing out exactly that, a primetime matchup for the ages.
Yeah, well, let's hope that the Ravens can perform in primetime. They've had a bit of an issue to do that in the last couple, this season. Being under those bright lights of Monday night did not work out for them against the Chiefs. But my hope is that the Ravens can come out and get a win. I think they're out to prove something as well. I mean, I hope that they know that first game wasn't a fluke, that they still have what it takes to beat the Browns. And like you said, the Browns, I mean, they're a good team. They are doing really well this year. They're performing really well. This is going to be a great game to watch, even if you're not a Ravens or a Browns fan. This one's going to be back and forth, I'm hoping. But if the Ravens want to get into the playoffs, they have to win this game. I know a lot of people don't want to say must win right now, but right now it's a 49% chance that the Ravens make it into the playoffs. So if they can win this game, that shoots up to about 70-72%. So this is a must win if they want to move forward. They have to do it. And I want to see them beat a team with a winning record like that. The Browns picked it up, and they have looked really good since that Ravens game. And I want the Ravens to go out there and say, we're just as good as we were in that first week when we went against them.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly can see that happening. You know, even though I feel like it'll be a loss here, that you're right. If they somehow can put together a winning effort on the road here and do it against a winning record team, that's another thing to say, okay, maybe they can get back on track for the playoffs. That puts them at 8-5 with three games to play. Then we're talking about the possibility of winning out and being 11-5 and improving the position. So to me, this is for all the marbles because, yeah, I get it. They're not down and out, they lose, but then it makes room for error that much more magnified because then it's, okay, you have three games left. You better watch out for the Giants. The other two teams can be still dangerous, but then again, it's the end of the year. They're vying for the top three picks at that point. And again, and they have to feel confident looking at the opponents. They haven't played Jacksonville yet this year. Obviously, they're not a divisional opponent. But the way the Ravens played the Bengals earlier this year with Joe Burrow in the center and they don't have him at the end of the year, Bengals have nothing really to play for. We should really – the Ravens are in prime position for this playoff spots. And especially now that they expanded to 7, hey, it might be in their favor. They might get that 7th spot and get really lucky with that since they expanded it and they get in. Maybe they make some noise. You know, I'm excited to see how it shakes out. But, yeah, this Browns game, dude, I really can't wait till Monday Night Football, man. I mean, you know, we get the stage. We get this everybody play out this week, Thursday, Friday. I don't even know what day they play now. Thursday, Sunday, it's going to be one, man. And I Ravens are a slight favorite. You see a win. You see this you can point out. I see as a loss, but it's not down and out. But let's see what team shows up. I really feel like the Ravens, now with the pieces getting back healthier, the game plan is very simple. Just carry the same thing. Run the football. Run it 300-500 yards. Lamar take care of it. But I like to see the defense with a little bit more scheme involved. Again, you know, maybe because they were playing Andy Dalton in the Cowboys offense. Maybe they definitely have different schemes for different teams, but you know I like to see a little bit more vigor out of the defense. I thought the offense, obviously, this year it's been more about the defense being better than the offense. Last year it was different; it was the offensive show. To me, we get it. We alluded to earlier, special teams lacked in this last game. When you're firing all cylinders, you're running a well-oiled machine with a defense, offense, special teams. I like the balanced approach. I mean, when the defense complements the offense and vice versa, and they're both balling, any team could be unstoppable at that point, almost invincible, almost. But, you know, looking at the Ravens on how they can manage the game, turnovers have been the key. And you know, they had the one here tonight, or the one against the Cowboys.
Right.
The defense all could create turnovers. Patrick Queen got in the mix with an interception. LJ Ford had it. Yeah, we didn't see the fumbles as we usually do with the punch outs, but I like to see the defense clean up some things. You know, they left some tackles out there. Instead of tackling, they're going for the ball. You know, I forget who's number 85 for the Cowboys. He was shredding us with some plays. And, you know, I think there was poor tackling on the defense. There are some things out there that I thought the defense could have done sharper and better. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the defense be a lot sharper against the Browns and really be focused up. But, yeah, we're ready for the stretch run, man. December football. We're getting right into the meat and potatoes of this thing, man. It's got 4 weeks left of this 2020 season. You know, we're through three quarters. The Ravens are 7-5, 12 games down. Four to go. We made it to three quarters. So didn't have them at 7-5 after three quarters of football. But we're entering the fourth quarter, and this is where the Ravens got to close it out. And that's what I loved about the Cowboys matchup. They closed out the game. Cowboys scored, and it's like, okay, the Ravens took control of the clock and
right.
and got it. Dobbins punched it in. And that's what I love to see, that killer mentality that, like, all right, let's just put them away. Let's not keep this close. Let's go. And it made Ravens football fun again. And let's get after it on Monday night.
And good news coming off the COVID list on Wednesday. Mark Andrews, Matthew Judon are two of the active roster members that are back on the team. Will Holden, who was on the practice squad, also came off the COVID list. So it looks like we are going to have Mark Andrews and Matthew Judon available for
awesome.
Monday night. Dez Bryant, like we said, is still up in the air. Having Mark Andrews and Matthew Judon back onto the active roster and on the field on Monday, that is a huge coup for this team. I mean, we know how much Lamar likes to throw to Mark Andrews. We've seen Hollywood Brown in this past game really step it up. And, you know, we were talking about he didn't have the greatest game before then and how he worked with Trace McSorley, but he really did show up against Dallas. I was happy to see that. And he had something to prove. So if the team wants to get hot right now, they're going to have all of the help they can get back on offense, which is great. And I'm hoping that we're going to see, you know, we're going to see the Ravens like we saw at the beginning of the year, that first week. I hope we get to see that again. And these guys really kind of go crazy and show off and are able to come away with a win.
Absolutely, man. And hopefully they prove me wrong. I'm not saying I'm not confident. I just don't see it. It's going to be a tough task. Think they're up for it, especially after a performance on Tuesday. They needed to carry it to get players back. But, hey, hope the Ravens can prove me wrong and win another one and be 8-5, get that eighth win. Now we're talking momentum. Now we're talking a possibility, like alluded to earlier. 11-5 is a real possibility. Still got to play the games. Again, man, it's going to be another division round, and it's a chance to sweep the Browns. It's a chance to really now put another notch in the rivalry, saying we got you. And hey, I've been chomping at the bit, man. And for a Monday night matchup this late, it's our last primetime game right now. And they need to step up big and shine bright. And In the factory of sadness, as we call Cleveland, let's hope that we can let's hope the Ravens can leave them sad and we can get that win. And you know, it's gonna be a tall order, man. We'll see what happens, bro. Monday Night Football at its finest.
It'll be a good game. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Actually, no, we didn't, because I do want to bring this up. I just, as we were recording, the 2020 Walter Payton Man of the Year nominees were released, and we got to congratulate Bradley Bozeman for being nominated for the
Bozeman.
Ravens.
Yes, I love it, man. Congrats, Brad. I know him and Nikki do a lot of great things with their foundation and charity. A lot of great vendors here in Baltimore area support that. You know, shout out to I know Lupton, my friend Chris Lupton from Lupton Sports Collectibles. I know he does a lot of things with the Bradley Bozeman and Nikki Foundation. So great shout out, great kudos to him, man, being nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year. It's a great accolade for those who don't know what the award is about. I certainly encourage you to research it. I mean, it's a great honor. You know, Walter Payton Man of the Year. I think a few former Ravens have been nominated, and my memory serves correct, I think a few have won that prestigious title. So it's a great honor to be recognized with that, with these NFL players. So congrats, thank you for breaking that, man. Congrats to Brad. Man, I'm very excited for him to see if he can get it.
And the other thing that's kind of crazy is that the New York Jets, they nominated, I hope I'm saying this right, Pierre Desire Desir, and he's actually on the Ravens practice squad right now. So
really?
The Jets nominated a Ravens practice squad player.
Interesting.
So, I mean,
that's very Jet thing to do. Thank you. I mean, they got some of our players, former players, so why not?
Yeah.
You know, hey, yeah, it trades well, but well, I can't wait to see how that all shakes out, man. Walter Payton Man of the Year and Ravens Monday Night Football. See how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing any kinds of videos or pictures or anything we find interesting about the Ravens or football. We share it with you over on our Facebook page. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write a Snapple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, I know you're not thinking the Ravens can pull off a win on Monday, but get us ready. Maybe you can motivate these guys a little bit. Maybe they're listening.
You're pinning that all on me.
I'm blaming you. I am.
Blaming
yeah.
me. Nah, it's not that. It's not like I'm thinking we're going to lose. I just, if I had to predict and put our predictions out there, I'm saying I don't, I see a loss. I think this is their one blemish that in the stretch run. Hey, like I said, I hope they prove me wrong. And but
is this game the pink bunny suit from A Christmas Story type of game we're gonna have?
Yes, it is. And I'm gonna give you guys some insight. So for all those who all the supporters, I can't even get out because you look so ridiculously funny right now. So for all those who don't know, we record via Zoom, right? But we don't do the video thing. We record on video, but we just do the audio for the podcast purposes. I log in on air finally today to do the Zoom call with Brandon, and I see this big pink fuzzy thing sitting in a chair. It's Brandon turns around. He's wearing the bunny from the Christmas Story costume. So Halloween is still in December pretty much, but it was a great morning jolt in addition to my coffee, man, because I lost it. I was like, what is this thing, man? So, and I forgot to dress up, so I didn't wear anything. So I could always get my Batman suit on real quick. But but yeah, apparently what you're doing that, you say you're doing it for your Zoom Christmas party or something?
Yeah, the office Christmas party is on Zoom this year. So I'm going to surprise everybody and wear this to the party. Last year, I grew my beard out. I didn't shave from July until December, and I got Christmas ornaments and had them all over my beard, and they lit up. And
I remember that. That was funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. Yeah, I did that. Finally, shaved in December. I didn't shave from my birthday till December 1st. I went like from my birthday. I was like, I'm doing no shave November early, and I went 2 months without it, and it was brutal. It was itchy, but yeah, December, I was like, it's coming off, but yeah. So yeah, he's got the pink bunny suit on. So maybe that'll be the key to victory. I don't know, but it's pretty comical, one for the ages. But yeah, I just want to give you we do a little bit of fun here on the show, but it was definitely something to start the show off with pretty good on a good note there. So, but no, not that I, again, you know, you predict a win, I predict a loss. You know, we always can't agree, man. I mean, right. It'd just be a vanilla show. Like, Ravens, all in favor of Ravens win or loss, say aye, and we agree. No, man. I mean, you know, I don't see it. I don't see a scenario. I'm not saying there's no scenario where they can't win, but I just don't see it. The Browns right now are a better team than they faced in week one. And until the Ravens prove that they can hang with this team, hey, a win against them, like you alluded to, goes a long way. You beat a team with a winning record. Not only that, but you shorten the gap there. the Browns are contesting for a wild card position as well. So not only that, but you're one game closer. You put the Browns at 9-4, and we're 8-5. So we're one game behind with a two-game sweep. So if the Ravens and Browns were somehow tying record-wise, we would leap them in the standings for a wild card because we own both. Obviously, we own the tiebreaker. We beat them. We swept them. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So that it's a tall task. It's not that I don't think they can get it done, period. I'd predict the loss. But given the what after I saw Tuesday night, and given that they're getting players back, and if they carry that same momentum and confidence over to this game, for sure they have a chance to win. But, hey, they got to play the games. That's why they play the games, bro. So, but that's why I like it. You know, we can't always agree on the wins and losses, man. That'd be a vanilla call. I don't like a vanilla call.
Yeah.
I like a bunny-infused call. Maybe I should get my peeps out. It's bunny, Easter bunny season early. But anyway, with that being said, this is it. It's Monday Night Football. We know what this matchup is. We know what this matchup brings. We know what's on the line. And can't get any better than a Monday Night Football game to on the stage to prove it. The Ravens, again, another primetime game. This is pretty much their third one in a row, if you want to call a 3:40 p.m. kickoff primetime, but it essentially was by the time they were done, pretty much. So, yeah, it's all right there. Ravens got to put it together, winning effort. Cleveland, man, who would have thought that the Cleveland Browns would be two games better than the Ravens right now? Who thought that they would be in a position they are with a better position in the playoffs than the Ravens right now at this late in the season? No one saw that coming on this Monday night matchup. We just thought, looking at it, especially after week one, we're like, Browns is going to be in our way on a way to a December March into the playoffs. Now, the Ravens are on the other side. They're on the Browns side pretty much. They're like, even though the Ravens are favored by a slight margin again, which is, to me, a little bit crazy, and they're giving the Ravens too much credit, I think. Maybe that shows the confidence that the odds makers have in Baltimore. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't have any confidence in them. It's just the Ravens lately haven't been playing good football. This is their second win in, a month and a half? This is – again, they lost four out of the last five, and then they finally won one. So they won two out of the last six. So, to me, they haven't been playing winning football as of late. So maybe this turns the tide. It's all important. So we'll see how it bodes well for the Ravens. But until then, they got to get it done. And Monday night matchup, Cleveland Browns, it's the old Ravens, right? We always say it's the old Ravens versus new Ravens is what we love to say around here. Going back to where it all started, Cleveland. Let's get it. Monday Night Football, are you ready? Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.